Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Passion for Christ, a spiritually enlightening call-in internet radio broadcast of the Grace View Church of Christ in beautiful Anderson, South Carolina, with Minister Brian C. Jones. The Grace View Church of Christ in Anderson meets at 918 West Whitner Street at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning for life-changing worship service and 7 p.m. each Thursday for life transformation Bible study. Saturate your soul with encouraging biblical sermons, morning devotions, dating tips, a cappella concerts, and congregational singing by visiting us on YouTube at www.youtube.com/GraceviewSC or call us anytime at 864-332-7572 for information about the Grace View Church of Christ, Passion for Christ Radio, or any of its other ministries. If you or someone you know has been blessed by this broadcast and would like to donate financial resources to ensure the continuation of Passion for Christ Radio and Passion for Christ Television broadcast, you may give a tax-deductible donation online at www.graceviewcoc.com by clicking on the Donate tab. If you have a question or a prayer request, please dial number 1 on your telephone, and when the last 4 digits of your telephone number has been called, state your name, question, or prayer request. You can also email us at graceviewcoc@gmail.com for questions or other information. Now stay tuned as Minister Brian C. Jones gives a practical biblical lesson from principles in the Word of God tonight.
Welcome again to Passion for Christ. I am your host, Brian C. Jones, minister of the Grace View Church of Christ here in beautiful Anderson, South Carolina, and I'm absolutely elated to be with you on this evening. I want to pause right now to give you some encouragement to read your Bible, stay in your Word. If you're looking for me, I'm in the text, so you know where I am, but I want to encourage you to do the same, particularly heading into a new year. We want to make sure that everything that we do is fixated and focused on the Word of God and that we're living the kind of lives that God wants us to live. And to that end, I want to suggest that when you study the Bible, it is important not to formulate a preconceived idea or meaning and bring that to the text. Usually that's based on what the Bible means to you, but rather focus on approaching the text from an understanding, that it has nothing to do with a modern interpretation that you make on the spot, not having any knowledge of the culture, geography, political system, linguistics, form, and textual criticisms that you need to properly interpret the text. And most importantly, you need to understand the context of the text before you actually try to formulate an understanding and an interpretation. The context gives you an accurate understanding of the content as the author intended for us to know, not as the interpreter intends. So make sure that when you read and study the Holy Bible, you are going to try to figure out what did this passage mean to those who first read it when it was originally written, and what did the author intend to convey from this text in its original form. Now, here's what I want to do tonight. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1, and I'm going to try to explain this to one through one verse to kind of get you to understand a little bit about contextual and textual preaching and teaching and expository understanding of God's Word. Notice what Matthew says in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 1. The record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now let me say something about this. That's just one verse. Hopefully I can at least extrapolate from this tonight. Matthew is the gospel writer. So this is Matthew's interpretation of the events that took place during his time that he wrote down for us and recorded for us in the Bible, the Word of God. Now, the gospel writer Matthew, who was a tax collector, also called Levi, starts off with the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Why would a person write a gospel and start off with the genealogy if he was not trying to prove that Jesus really is who God has said he is. So genealogy proves to us the origin of a person. As a matter of fact, the word genealogy comes from an original Greek term, Genesis, which means the origin of the birth. So what Matthew is trying to prove to his audience, a predominantly Jewish audience, because Matthew uses a lot of terms from the Old Testament that he uses in his gospel that people who are Jewish and Israelites would know from reading the Old Testament documents. So what he is trying to do is prove who Jesus is and give you a record of his family so that you would be in the know that his family is connected to Jesus Christ, and Jesus is connected to all these great men that we read about in the historical word of God, the Bible. Men like David, men like Abraham. David was the king. Abraham was the father of faith. Jesus is the Messiah, which means he is the anointed one. He is the one that the prophets of old talked about and prophesied about that was going to come and take away the sins of the world. So in chapter 1, he lets you know before he even gets into the birth narrative, he tells you about his family dynamic and where he came from and how he got here, which furthermore should prove to those that Jesus really did come from the line of these great men, to which we all know about because we've read it in Scripture. So by the time you get to the end of chapter 1, it is talking about the birth of Jesus, and then chapter 2 begins with the fact that Jesus had been born. So the birth of Jesus is significant, and so what I want to do for the next few minutes is simply give you a few things to ponder from the birth narrative. Jesus simply being born is a historical event that validates the Old Testament prophecies of God given to God's people, and to show God's love affair, care, his reach, his plan, his thirst, and his hunger for the salvation of mankind, which shows us that God has a time for his plan. In other words, when we read the birth narrative, it is simply God bringing in what he has already promised in Jesus Christ into human history. It was on God's time, it was God's plan, and God's timing and God's plan does not necessarily at all have to fit into our timing, because God is a God that does his own thing, and we just need to be happy that he includes us into it. However, with God's ultimate plan, he is always trying to have his best interest of his people in mind. So Jesus's birth is a confirmation of God's love for humanity despite our frailties, our shortcomings, and our sins. As a matter of fact, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Romans chapter 5 verse 8 and 9 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly." So the birth of Jesus is a significant historical event that proves the validity of God's word, God's promises, God's love for mankind, because if God did not love us, God would have never sent Jesus. Oh God, I thank God even tonight at the fact that he sent Jesus. God sending Jesus validates for the believer, you and I, that he had to love us. Why else would he allow the best that he had to wrap himself in some human flesh, become a baby through the womb of a virgin by the name of Mary, come up through the history of time during a time where the political atmosphere around the Romans was certainly one that one would not want to necessarily be a part of and born into, particularly if you understand Herod the Great and the political atmosphere that Jesus was born into, so much so Jesus being a king born a king, he was targeted by the political opposition of people like Herod, who wanted to make sure that another king would be eliminated that would pose a threat to their influence and their power and their economic system, which is what Herod was trying to do. So Jesus was born not for himself. He was born for you and I so that God could use him. So Jesus being born proves that the Bible is right. It does that because the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace." Jesus being born proves God through coming through on his promises. I just told you that. Jesus being born proves God's intent for us to live together. God's intent of sending Jesus is so that you and I could be saved by him and that we could live forever. I want you to take a couple seconds and think about living forever and how awesome that is going to be, and how awesome it is the fact that we are going to have that promise given to us from God if we have a relationship with Jesus by being born again through the watery grave of baptism, baptized into Christ, having past sins remitted, being covered by the blood of Jesus to have present sins remitted, and being covered by the blood of Jesus, praise God, to have future sins remitted upon our admission of guilt, confession, and asking God for forgiveness and repentance. It can't get any better than that. So let me just tell you this. In terms of Matthew chapter 2, I preached this on yesterday. I don't want to give you the same points, but let me just give you something different from it on this evening, and I'll be done in just a moment. So chapter 1 deals with the fact that Matthew is trying to prove the validity of Jesus coming from the loins of men like Abraham and David, which shows us who he came from, how he came, and Matthew records that for us in history to get those, the Jewish listeners and the Jewish readers, to believe that this is the authenticity of the Messiah himself as you read, which Jewish people would be familiar with the Old Testament quotes that he gives. So he says in verse number 1, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king," I just suggested that, "Magi," or wise men from the east, "arrived in Jerusalem." That's all I'm going to deal with tonight. But I want you to know that since God has allowed Jesus to be born, Jesus to grow up to be a man, a perfect man, a sinless man, and in that, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, suffered a humiliating punishment and a death, and he was buried, and you know the story. God raised him from the dead after 3 days. Here's what I want you to know about these Magi when they came to see the born king of the Jews, which is Jesus the Christ. They were led by a sign, which was a star. These were astrologers, and they searched through their methods of astrology. They searched that star, and they believed that that star would lead them to the born king of the Jews, which is Jesus the Christ. And what I want you to understand for that, they searched for him. People argue and debate how long it was. Some people say it was a couple years that they did it, trying to travel from the east to get to Jerusalem. But these were Oriental astrologers. But they used that sign, and they got to Jesus for one purpose, and that was so that they could worship him. And they came so that they could worship Jesus because they knew that Jesus was a king. And when you treat Jesus as a king, there are a few things you need to do. Most importantly, you need to worship him. That means you have to give him reverence. You have to bow down, kiss towards his feet, pay homage to him, because Jesus lives, we can have the hope that things will get better. I simply want you to know tonight, beloved, that you need to worship Jesus. Every day of your life, no matter what happens, I want you to focus on worshiping Jesus. That's your application. You don't have to be at church to worship Jesus. Every day of your life, spend some time worshiping Jesus. Now, they traveled to worship Jesus. They searched for Jesus. They used their energy. They used their time. They used their efforts. They used their money. They spent time away from their family, all because their intent was to worship Jesus. Let me leave you with this and I'm done. I was on an elevator recently. We went to visit, actually, Sister Barbara Smith, who's doing much better now, praise God. Me and my wife a few weeks ago in Greenville, when she was there. And in order to get to her room, we had to go on an elevator. And I noticed something interesting about that elevator. When you got on the elevator, you had to push a button. And when you push that button, you can either go down or you could go up. And I want to suggest that in Isaac Newton's law of motions, the third law says that for every action, there is a reaction. So I want to suggest to you that many of you have amassed so much hurt, so much things have happened to you this year, and things have went on in your life. And you have just went through so much. And sometimes if you're not careful, you can dwell on the negativity, the bad things and the issues and all of those things. And sometimes when you press that button of negativity, you end up going down in negativity. But what I want to suggest to you is when you press on that negative button, that those negative things would take you down. What I want you to know is I want you to press the joy button. I want you to press the happy button. I want you to press the holy button. I want you to press the spiritual button. And that spiritual button and that holy button and that joy button would take you higher, because for every action, there was also an equivalent reaction. So you need to make sure that you take control of your destiny. You're either going to go down or you're going to go up. But the things that we actually do take us down, and the things that we actually do take us up. So it's all about what you decide to do. And so wisdom suggests that we do everything in our power to take ourselves up to a higher level. I want you to do that in 2019, but it starts right now. And the only way you're going to be able to do that with Jesus, take your Bible reading to another level, take your Bible understanding to another level, take your holiness and your spirituality to another level. You can't worry about what man is going to do. Every button you press needs to be a button that has a reaction that is going to take you higher and not lower. Do the things that you know you need to do that will take you higher. But it starts with having a relationship with Jesus, and it starts with your Bible knowledge, your Bible study, and it starts with having that kind of wisdom. And wisdom is the principal thing. And wisdom would lead you to all the things that you need in your life. God bless you tonight. Hope and pray this information has truly blessed your life. If you have a prayer request, we'd love to pray for you, even right now. Make sure you tune in next week. We're going to have a powerful lesson for you. Dial number one right now on your phone, and we'll be calling out the last four digits of your number. State the name and the need of the person to whom you're requesting prayers for. God bless you. Dial number one right now if you have a prayer request. Caller ending in 9026. You're on the air live now. State your prayer request at this time, please.
Good evening, my brother. This is Sister Adney Godin. I come requesting, first and foremost, amazing lesson. I come this evening requesting prayers for my sister, Rose, who is in Cambridge, Boston right now at Balding Hospital. She's not doing well. My sister says she's unresponsive. So please continue to pray for her. Pray for the doctors, the nurses who are caring for her 24 hours. Pray for my sister Karen and their mom, who's traveling to Boston right now. Continue to also lift up Esther, who has been at her bedside. And also I'm requesting prayers for the Hodgman family. They lost their son, nephew, baby born about 2 weeks ago. He was having intestinal issues. His name was Cameron, and he passed yesterday morning. So please pray for the Hodgman family. Thank you.
God bless you, Sister Adney. We certainly will keep all of those people in prayer, particularly those who you mentioned by name tonight. And we just certainly appreciate your encouragement as well. Caller ending in 1340, you're on the air live on Passion for Christ now. Please state your prayer request at this time, please.
Good evening, Brother Jones. Thank you for your message. This is Sister Walker. I have a prayer of thanksgiving. You know what I've been through this year, and God has truly blessed me where I've been able to bless a lot of people. I'm just very thankful to God that I'm still not out of the woods, but God is good. He is so good, and I'm so grateful that he's blessed me financially. I'll be able to handle some of my expenses. And one thing that I laughed about, Brother, I checked my income for the year, and for the whole year up to this point, I've made a whopping $3,600 and some odd for the year, and God has sustained me. So I'm jumping for joy and grateful for everything that God has done for me. Continue to keep me in your prayers. I continue to look for more stable employment. Thank you.
Praise the mighty name of Jesus. We thank God for what he is doing in your life. And I really appreciate you for giving him that praise. If you're listening with us tonight, what you just heard is that God can bless you to pay bills with no money. And who would not want to serve a God like that? And we thank you for sharing that kind of candid information and specifics, because somebody tonight, Sister Walker, needed to hear that. Somebody tonight has no money. They have no gifts. They have nothing that they really believe they need. But we have everything if we have Jesus, and we have prayer, and we have faith and hope that God could bless us. And you are a reflection of that, and we thank you tonight for sharing that information. It is 9:22. We're going to be led tonight in prayer by Brother Matthew Gardner of the Grace Free Church of Christ here in Anderson. For those of you who are traveling, I just want to give God praise that he allowed you to get to your destination safe, and that you continue to keep those who Sister Adney requested prayers for, particularly the bereaved, in your continued prayers over the holidays, and continue to give God praise for what he has done, not for what you think he has not done. And for that, you'll always have some praise on your lips. This season is not always accepted by everybody the same. This season for some people is the worst part of the year, and for some people it's the best part of the year. So for those who have lost loved ones, and maybe it's the first or second or fifth or tenth anniversary, you not having that relative, that loved one, that child, that grandchild, whoever it is, we feel your pain tonight. And tonight we want to lift up God for those who have family members and loved ones who have gone on, but their memories are strong in our spirits. And instead of looking at it from a negative standpoint, we want to praise the God of heaven who's given us the opportunity to know those people and to have a part in their lives. And we appreciate the God who allowed those people to have the impact that those people had on our lives. And for that tonight, we give God praise for the memories of friends and loved ones who are no longer with us, and certainly church folk who have gone on to be with the Lord. And we thank God for the time that he gave us. It's all about Jesus. At this time, we thank you for your patience. We're going to be led in prayer by Brother Matthew Gardner. Please tune in tomorrow morning for the Grace and Mercy prayer call at 7:30 a.m. We have Brother Ronald Waring that will be leading that devotion in the morning. Brother Garner, please give us a brief prayer. God bless you.
Our Father, which art in heaven, oh, good Master, once again, Lord, we come with a heart full of thanks. We thank for all the rich and many wonderful blessings. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank thee more overflow for Jesus, the Son, the living God, who died on that old rugged cross for the sins of the world. Heavenly Father, on the call tonight, you have a host of your saints on the call. Some made their request known, some may have not. Heavenly Father, bless Sister Adney. Heavenly Father, bless her sister in the hospital. Bless the doctors, Lord, that are taking over her, looking over her. Bless Esther that's by her side, Heavenly Father. Bless Karen and her mother, Heavenly Father. Give them all love and traveling grace. Bless the Hodgman family, Heavenly Father, Lord, for bereavement, Lord, for Karen who passed away, Heavenly Father. Bless all those you come in contact with. Touch them. Send the Holy Spirit. Touch them in a mighty, mighty special way, if only you know how. Also, Heavenly Father, bless Sister Walker. She is truly, truly thankful for being a child of God as well. She's truly thankful for all the rich and many wonderful blessings, Heavenly Father, you bestowed upon her. Continue to bless her financially. Continue to bless her with all many, many, many special blessings according to thy blessed will. And the Father, special, special prayer on our very own Sister Fran as well. Sister Barbara Smith and her husband as well. Sister and Brother White, Heavenly Father, Lord. Brother Charlie Jones, Heavenly Father. Sister and Brother Wayne as well, Heavenly Father. Bless the William Street congregation, Lord. The 85 congregation, the Bishopville congregation, the Haler Street congregation, Heavenly Father, the Grace Food congregation, all those in the brotherhood, all those who are going through trial tribulations at this time, Heavenly Father, all those who are going through bereavement. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless all the saints that's gone before us this year, all those who passed away, Lord, in that upper room, Heavenly Father, waiting for the judgment. Bless all of us, Heavenly Father, who's following behind, who want to make heaven our home. As we run this race with patience and do until the end, go the last mile of the way, we want to hear thy voice, see thy face in peace, say, well done. Thou good and thy faithful servant. I've been faithful through thing, make the rule of anything, in a thine, in a joy of the Lord. Lord, bless each and every one as we lay down tonight to see another day, Heavenly Father, Lord, on terrific Tuesday, to hear another portion of thy holy written word, Heavenly Father, at 7:30 in the morning. Bless Brother Wayne as he prepare that lesson for us. These and all the blessings that's in Jesus' name. Let the saints of God with one voice say, amen.
Concentrate on the things you learn and obey his best.
Open arms,
say
the Lord is there
to take your hand.
To the angels in heaven,
angels in our way.
Oh Lord, the water is red.
The water is red.
So don't wait too late.
He loves you so.
Well,
so
you gotta do what's right.
Church of Christ would like to thank each person on this call tonight for your attention to this most important matter of salvation and for extending your prayer requests to God as well. We pray that the biblical principles from God's Word tonight have helped you understand who God is and what He would have us to do. Join us next week and persuade someone new to join us as we discuss the wisdom in the Word of God on Passion for Christ at 9 p.m. with Minister Brian C. Jones. In keeping with the mandate given in Mark Chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, to his disciples by Jesus Christ, we urge you to go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. May God bless you and have a blessed night.